You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11. We've been teaching on faith for, I don't know, 6-7 weeks now. We just started in Hebrews 1, and then we got through the first verse the first night. And I think we got through the second one the next night, and the third one the third night. So we were just rolling. I think we got through 3 or 4 verses in 3 weeks. That was good. And so last week we were on 13, verse 13, and I think that's what we got through was verse 13 last week, or pretty close to it, Hebrews 11, 13. Well, after we talked about the heroes and heroines of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, and that's often referred to as the Faith Hall of Fame because of that, because these are famous men and women in the Bible, and what were they famous for? Faith. They were famous for trusting God, for believing God. They weren't famous for being shepherds, famous for being kings, famous for, you know, any number of things. They were all different walks of life, different ages, different genders. I mean, Sarah was a woman, and there's Noah, you know, and then there's Abraham. And you start going through all their lives, there was nothing common really about it, any of them except their faith. And it says, by faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith they did this. And that's what God's drilling into us over and over and over through this, is that we can trust him. Maybe you're not the most intelligent person in the world, the sharpest tool in the shed. But if you believe God, then you can please God and you can be blessed. Amen? And you can be used by God. No question about that. And maybe you can't sing. Well, you know, maybe you can't dance. You know, I don't know. But you can believe. Everybody can believe. And so you're not left out. You know, that's the good news. Maybe you're young. Maybe you're old. I don't know. There's young people and old people in the Bible that God used. And if they trusted him, then he came through. It's pure and simple. And you can't read this chapter without getting that. If you're honest and objective and you read it with an open mind, you'll see that everything was done by faith. And the 6th verse tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He does reward us when we seek him. And then last week we started talking about characteristics of faith, starting in that 13th verse. And really, the 13th verse begins to summarize what we have experienced, what we saw, what we witnessed there with these men and women up to this point. And it says they all died in faith, not having received the promise. The promises, and we know that's concerning really the promise of eternal life. And he says that later on in the 39th verse. We went over that last week. But having seen them afar off, and these are characteristics of faith that we talked about. This is what faith does. Faith sees afar off. Faith sees further than the now, further than what's happening right now. Faith is now, but faith deals with the future, always, in every case. In fact, you don't have to believe for what's going on now. You're always believing for something that's not going on now. But you have to believe now. Are you with me? You have to believe now for what hadn't happened yet. I mean, we don't use faith for things that are going on now. We use faith for what we want to happen, not what's happening. You don't have to have faith to know I'm here. I'm here. I mean, you don't have to believe for me to be here. I am here. Now, if I told you last week I'd be here this night, then you'd have to believe that. But once you came and here I am, I'm here. Doesn't take any faith to believe I'm here. That doesn't take faith at all. And it doesn't take faith to, you know, to experience what's going on at the moment. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you with me? So it says here in this 13th verse that concerning faith, they saw them promises. Everybody say them promises. They saw them afar off. So faith has telescopic vision. Faith does not live in the land of what could have been or should have been. It doesn't live in the land of regret. It doesn't live in the land of what never happened. Faith is living in the land of what can be and what will be, what should be. Are you with me? Faith lives in the land of the future. Faith pulls you into the future. It pulls you out of your past, actually. Actually, it's doubt and unbelief that pulls you back into your past. Doubt hangs on to the past. It runs through life with its head looking back, the land of look behind, not the land of look forward. But faith always sees way off, something more. And it's persuaded by what it sees, God's promise. It says, and we're persuaded of them, persuaded of the promise, not of the pain, not of the need, not of the circumstance, not of what's going on right now. A lot going on right now, but I'm persuaded by what faith shows me. I'm not persuaded by what's going on right now. I see beyond what's going right now. You know, God told Abraham the same thing. He says, now I want you to look from where you are. Isn't that good? You know, he didn't say, just look at what you got. You know, he said, look from where you are. So we've got faith looks from where we are. Faith never settles for what's going on. Faith looks from where we are. In fact, ultimately, you know this, we're not settling for this earth. We're going to heaven, hallelujah. And this earth we're going to live on is going to be a new earth, a sinless earth, without mosquitoes, red bugs, and chiggers. Hallelujah. So faith sees afar off. It's persuaded by what it sees, the promise. Everybody say the promise. Okay, there's an object of our faith. There's an object of what we're looking at. We're not looking at anything in particular. We're looking at something in particular, not just anything. We're looking at God's word. We're looking at what he promised. Faith's based on God's word. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we all have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So faith is based first on a word, then it's believed, then it's spoken. And, you know, all through the scripture, we can verify that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, Romans 10:17. It doesn't come by hearing a dream or vision or a need or a desire or just something you want. No, it comes from hearing the word. It comes from hearing the word. You know, we're not trying to just raise self-esteem or just to, you know, raise your dreams. You know, dreams, your dreams are going to rise. Your self-esteem will increase if you get in the word. But that's not the goal. The goal is to just get God's word in your life, to pray his will be done, his kingdom come, hallelujah. And when you get in his word, faith will rise. So faith sees the promise afar off. It's persuaded by the promise. It embraces the promise. Oh, hallelujah. It's good stuff. So we don't embrace the problem. We don't embrace the circumstance. We don't embrace the fads of the day. We don't embrace the problems of the day. We don't embrace the negativity of the day. We embrace the promise that we have been persuaded by, that we have seen afar off by faith. Amen. Sometimes it is afar off. Sometimes it's way out there, but it's still there. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. I mean, if I saw that door and I wanted to get there, I'd start walking according to my sight. And I would head in that direction. Even though I don't feel that door and I don't smell that door and I can't hear that door, I can't taste that door. But if I want to go out that door, I start walking. Are you with me? I start heading that direction. So faith shows us things that our senses don't show us. Now, faith is such things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not heard. It's the evidence of things not smelled, not felt, not tasted. But faith nonetheless sees it, just like that door's real, even though I can't taste it and touch it and hear it and smell it, you know, from where I am. But from where I am, if I look from where I am, I can see something away from where I am. And if I head toward what my eyes show me, I will touch it. And from where I am, faith tells me that God is a healer and that by his stripes I am healed. And lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and pray one for another that you may be healed. And I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he forgives all of our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And I may not feel it right now from where I am, but I can see it. And so I start saying what God says, and I start walking by faith. Are you with me? And that's what it's saying here. It says they have the promises, they saw them afar off, they were persuaded by them, and they embraced them, and then they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And that's how we ended up, I think, last week with that part of that verse, that you have to separate yourself from, disconnect yourself from the problem. You have to not lay claim to the problem, but lay claim to the promise. This is not my cancer. This is not my allergy. This is not my disease. It's in my body. It's there. I don't deny that. I know it's there. And the doctors aren't lying. They're telling you the truth. But what is mine by right is healing. What is mine is what God promised. And I confess I am a stranger to this. Are you with me? I disconnect myself from it. This is not my lot in life. This is not my cross to bear. This is not my thorn in the flesh, you know, or Job's poor old yellow turkey, you know. Are you with me? I confess that I am a stranger and a pilgrim in this earth, in this life. That's what they did. They said, I'm a stranger. My rights and my privileges and my inheritance is somewhere else. It's in heaven. It's in God's word. It's in his promises. Hallelujah. And so that's what I'm going to pursue, and I'm going to disconnect from this. I'm not laying claim to this. I'm not staking out my claim here. I'm staking out my claim in his word. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, all this should really depress me, but the depression is not my right. It's not what God promised me. Peace is what he promised me. He said, in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me, you'll have peace. John 16:33 and Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So depression may try to come in, and the clouds may roll in, and the darkness may seem to come in, you know, like a flood, but it doesn't matter. I'm not connecting to that. My right, peace is my right. It is my inheritance. It's what God promised me. That's what I'm going after. Mm-hmm. Though the enemy come in like a flood, I'll raise up a standard against him. Amen. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment I'll condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17 tells us that. I believe it. How about you? So if we're going to be like these men and women, and we can be, and we should be, and we are, then we just need to develop these characteristics, this attitude. Are you with me? My attitude should be this. My outlook should be this. What I look at should be not the thing going on, but the promise. While I look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything here is temporary. Everything changes. This situation will change. This pain will leave. This sickness will go. This world will pass away even. Heaven and earth will pass away. But you know what won't? God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away is what Jesus said. So we want to hang on to that and disconnect from the temporal and hang on to the eternal. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. So, he goes on. Well, that's good stuff, isn't it? Yeah, I'm thinking of where he said persuaded there. Now, I know I preached persuaded last week, but still, I just had something. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching, scriptures just start stacking up. It's like train cars just backing up, you know, and I'm trying to unhook them and go to the next track, but I can't unhook this one. But I was thinking about Abraham in Romans 4, you know, it says 17th verse, for him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calls those things to be not as though they were. And talks about Abraham who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations as it was written. And being now dead, he considered not his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was, the King James says, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what we're talking about, is that persuasion. They were persuaded by what God had promised. See, he was persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, that God could do what he said. Now, the deadness of Sarah's womb and his old age, 99 at the time, and her, 89, when the promise came, when he changed his name, 100 when he was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and then she was 90. But at 99 is when he really got in faith. That's when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And then 9 months later, he had Isaac. But it says he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider his own body. Are you with me? But he was fully persuaded that what God had promised. That's what he saw far off. That's what he was persuaded by, and that's what he embraced, and that's what he confessed. What God had promised, he was able also to perform. But, you know, if you back up a little bit, it says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. One translation says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So as we begin to praise God, our faith is strengthened. As we begin to thank him in the low time, in the valleys, when you want to put on the blues record, when it doesn't seem like anything's working out, when it doesn't look like it's working, no, you need to start praising God for the answer. And in praising him, giving glory to God, it says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Well, I love that. So live a life of praise, and your faith will be strengthened. And that's where that full persuasion comes, where you're fully persuaded, where nothing can shake you, nothing can make you get off this faith train. You're on the faith train. Woo! The faith train. Yeah, okay. Now, the 14th verse, is that helping anybody? Okay. I'm just meditating, chewing on it. We talked about this last week, that we need to just meditate and chew. Just chew on it, digest and dissect, and not just rush through it, you know. But, you know, you need to chew your food. You just swallow it, gulp it down. You don't get the full benefit of it. You lose a lot of good stuff, I mean, you know, because it never takes time to digest it. So chew on some word. Chew on the scripture. Look at it. Meditate. Think about it. Hallelujah. 14th verse says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I love that. Now, if you're going to talk faith, then you're talking about looking. Faith always looks for something better, doesn't it? It's seeking something else. It's not accepting what's happening here. I think many times as Christians, we kind of get the idea that we should just lay down and let everything happen. Acquiesce, as it were. Just give in. Whatever happens, happens. And we tend to forget the power and the authority that we have as Christians, as believers. What the name of Jesus is all about, what prayer is all about, what faith is all about. Faith is not about just enduring life. Faith is to empower you to change life. Are you with me? Sure, through faith we do endure persecution, I understand that, but also through faith, we list all kinds of things that happen by faith. They wrought righteousness and got kingdoms and, are you with me? Survived fire and, goodness gracious, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den and all. Faith delivered them. Faith is a deliverer. It's not just something that just helps you suffer. It helps you get out of the suffering. There are sufferings of Christ, which is persecution. I understand that. But we're not talking about those kinds of things. We're talking about definite promises that God has given us. And faith empowers us to receive and bring those promises to pass. Faith is not about putting up with stuff. Faith is about overcoming things. In fact, when I think about faith in 1 John 5, it says, starts out and says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And the 4th and 5th verse says, and everything, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ. So faith is an overcomer. Faith is not an endurer, it is an overcomer. Faith's been given to us to overcome. God didn't ordain us to suffer, he ordained us to rule. Now, you know, having said that, I've already separated the fact that we do suffer persecution, we do suffer reproach, we do suffer those kinds of things. But we are to pray when sickness comes. In fact, is any sick among you? The Bible says, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, pray of faith, save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. And notice the example he says. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions like as we are, who prayed that it rain not, and it rained not. Then he prayed that it rain, and it rained. Wow. Did you get that? He says, we need to pray. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed that it rained not. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Well, he's no different than us. Now, if we pray to be healed, we can be healed. Hallelujah. So faith is given to us to overcome. Amen. It's given to us to come out of what we're in, to to achieve something better and higher than where we are. Is it going to make us all millionaires? No, no, of course not. I think it's relative. You know, I've heard people say, well, you can't preach prosperity in India. Oh, yeah, you can. You can preach to the pastors there if they can believe God for a bicycle instead of walking. And if they've got a bicycle, they can believe God for a motorcycle instead of a bicycle. And they can start where they are, and they can start believing God, and they can start reaching more communities and more, because it's all about reaching more people. Are you with me? It's not about the motorcycle. It's about reaching more people. Start where you are, amen? But seek something more. I'm going to tell you something. It's not a sin to be poor, but I tell you what, it is a sin. It's a sin to want to stay there. Not a sin to be sick, but it sure is a sin not to try to get healed. I mean, really, if you won't even go to the doctor, and you won't even take medicine, well, I can't help you. Are you with me? I mean, you won't even get up and call the doctor. You won't even take your medicine. You got a prescription, you won't even take it? Oh, come on. You can fix a lot of things, but you can't fix stupid. You just can't fix that. Are you with me? You got to want to, see, you got to want to come out of what you're in. It's not a sin to be, everybody's been, we've all fallen hard times. Everybody's had tough breaks. Come on, man. Everybody's had attacks. Everybody's had crisis. Everybody's fought depression. Everybody's had those things happen. That happens to everybody. That's not a sin. Those things happen. You're not a bad person because it happened to you. Sometimes it's somebody else that caused it. Might have been your sin, I don't know, but it's not every case. Don't take that kind of blame and that kind of responsibility. But I tell you what you don't want to do is lay down and die. You don't want to just give up and quit. The sin's not the thing that happened. The sin is not trying to get out of it. Because here it says, they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. They're not settling for this one. They're not settling for this country they're in. They're seeking something better than the country they're in. And faith always seeks something better. He actually says that later on. It says, 15th verse, truly, if they had been mindful, this is power-packed scripture here, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to return. I think you'll always have opportunity to return to what you fill your mind full of. And if you're constantly thinking about the past, you'll always have an opportunity to return. If you're got set free from alcoholism and you're constantly thinking about alcohol and hanging around people that drink and going to the bars, you know what? It's just going to be a matter of time you're going to get back into it. You got to renew your mind. You got to. Romans 12:3 says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 12:2. So you got to get something else in your head. And it says here that when they came out, they didn't continually think on what they came out of. Continually talk about it, continually remind themselves of it. They got set free from it, or they're coming out of it, and so they're disconnecting from it. Amen? I may have been lost, but I'm not lost now. I may have been a sinner, but I'm not a sinner now. I'm a saint now. Are you with me? I may have done drugs, but I don't do drugs now. I may have drank, but I don't drink now. Are you with me? I don't think on it. I wish I had a cigarette. Well, I used to smoke, but don't smoke now. Are you with me? I'm not thinking about it all the time. I'm not hanging around slobbering over the cigarette machine or whatever. I'm just using an example. If you come out of something, you got to change your mind. You got to change the way you think. You know, people that have your mind works in patterns. You know, you kid about things, you joke about things, you reminisce about things, you think about things, and you can tell from what you kid about and what you refer to and what you talk about, you can tell sometimes what issues you're having. You take not to be crude, I mean, we're all adults here, but if you take a man that has a problem, sins in adultery, sex, whatever the case may be, if you'll notice, they'll just refer to it a lot. They'll tell jokes about it. They'll kind of kid about it, and it's just in their conversation all the time. Are you with me? Because their mind's on it. Are you out there? And until they stop that pattern of thinking, until they stop talking about it, stop kidding about it, stop remembering it, stop bringing it up all the time, you know, joking away, whatever, constantly, they're not going to get free of it. Now, that could be anything. We could talk about, you know, drinking. We could talk about anything that you get set free from. You got to not, it says if they had been mindful, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Now, you know my testimony, but I don't talk a lot about it. I don't kid about it. I don't joke about it. You know, it's not funny. I'm not proud of it. I don't ever want to go back there. It's a matter of fact, I will say it from time to time, what I came out of, but you don't hear a lot of details. I don't want to talk about it. I come out of that. It's not cute. It's not funny. Hello. And I think sometimes we do ourselves an injustice and the world around us and in the church too when we just kid around about how we used to be. Well, you were that way, but thank God you got free. Thank God you got set free. Amen. And the less you talk about it, the less temptation you'll have to do it. You know, if you're overcoming cigarettes, don't talk about it all the time. Don't just wish I had a cigarette. Whoo, man. Are you with me? Get through eating and want to grab a cigarette. You know, man. Whew. Wow. No, just think about something else. Talk about something else. Are you out there? Come on. Because what your mind's full of, what you're mindful of, is what's going to pull you. It's going to pull you to it. So don't, you know, watch, be careful what you watch on TV. You know, careful what, come on. Careful what you watch on TV because it'll pull you. It'll pull you that way. Learn to turn the thing off, you know. Okay, so. For they that say such things declare plain that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country which they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. But now see, this is faith. We're talking about faith. We're talking about characteristics of faith. I mean, when you just say faith, I trust God. But when you say you're trusting God, these are some of the attributes and characteristics and attitudes that we should adopt. If we're believing God, then we're not thinking about all the things going wrong. We're not continually talking about how many times we went under, how many times we didn't make it, how many times we didn't go over. No. We're not mindful. We're not thinking of that. We're looking at the promise, and we're locked in. Amen? Like a cruise missile. We're not going to back off. We're not going to turn to the left. We're not going to turn to the right. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Amen? Not going to deviate, not going to get off here, off there. You know, I think Maurice brought out the rabbit, you know, the rabbit and the hare, the race. The hare lost, the rabbit and the hare, the tortoise and the hare. That would be two rabbits, wouldn't it? The tortoise and the hare. And the race, the tortoise and the hare, slow and steady wins the race, you know. The hare just kept going, bouncing back and forth and stopping and resting. And the tortoise, slow as he was, he just kept plodding away and never got off track, never got off the road. Are you with me? And if you'll just stay on track, that's what faith is. Faith is just staying on track. Faith is a focus, is what it is. Faith, you know, I mentioned the door, and I said that before, but it's such an easy, simple example. I mean, when we leave here tonight, we're going to head for the door. You know, there's a lot of things to look at here, but what you focus on is where you're going. Isn't that right? And in life, there's a lot of things to look at. And there may be a lot of things you do look at, but what you focus on is where you're going. You know, they even say in karate, when they break those boards, you know, if you talk to anybody that's broke those boards in karate, you know, or people that box on a bag or whatever, you know, the focus, the focal point is not the board. The focal point is the other side of the board. And so although they see the board when they come down with that hi-ya karate chop, what they're seeing is their hand on the other side of that board. And your focal point, your point of focus, you will always go to the point of your focus. You always will. And that's why God wants us to see His Word. He wants to bring us to that point in our life. And if we'll focus in on it, when all, everything else is going on, I understand, I see all that. We don't deny that. I feel the pain. Come on. You cut me, I bleed. I understand. But my focus is on what God says. And that's what's going to draw me, is what I'm focused on. That's good, isn't it? I love that. So let's focus on what God says. So He says, don't be mindful. Don't think about the going under. Think about the pain. Think about the problem. Think about the empty bank account. Think about the no job, whatever. No. We're not mindful of that. We're going forward. Hallelujah. 16th verse. Yeah, let me wrap this up. We'll make it. We're going to make it. 16th verse, attributes, characteristics of faith. But now they desire a better country. Did you know faith always desires something better? Faith does not settle for what's coming down the pipe. You know, it just doesn't settle for that. Faith doesn't float down the river like a dead log. Faith swims upstream like a live fish. Anybody can float down the river. Are you with me? Anybody can lay down and die. That's no condemnation to anybody that's passed away, gone on to be with heaven, to be in heaven. If you're a Christian, you die, you go to heaven. Thank God. We got loved ones in heaven. But what I'm saying is anybody can die. You don't have to be saved to die. Anybody can die. And anybody can give up, and anybody can give in. Anybody can quit. But we need to believe God. The world is looking for someone that'll believe God, looking for someone that'll trust Him, someone that's had a miracle in their life, someone that's had a deliverance in their life, someone that's overcome something in their life. They're looking for David to come off the hill and kill that giant. They're waiting and sometimes trembling in their boots, just hoping it could be so. And somebody's going to finally have to run down there and kill that giant. And it might as well be you. Amen. Might as well be me. Might as well be us. Now they desire a better country. A better state of health, a better state of finances, a better state of mind, a better life. Better faith always desires something better. Now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. In other words, faith always desires what heaven provides. It says Abraham, we just read it a few weeks ago in Hebrews 11, it says he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Faith looks for what God builds and makes, not what man can do, not what I can do, but what God can do. And Abraham looked for a city, but it had foundations, but its builder and maker was God. And you and I should look for a marriage that has foundations, but whose builder and maker is God. We should look for a God marriage, a godly marriage, one that God builds and makes. Faith doesn't settle for the statistics. Faith doesn't settle for all the studies that have been done. Are you with me? Faith looks into the Word, sees what God says, looks at the promise, latches onto that promise, and looks for a marriage that God builds and makes. Or looks for a business that God builds and makes. Or looks for a body that God builds and makes. Or looks for a state of mind that God builds and makes. Peace, blessed peace, hallelujah, that comes from heaven. They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. But not one here. Not something that this world provides. Something that He provides. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to return, but we're not going to be thinking like that. We're not going backwards or going forward. Amen? But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore? I love this. It's God's approval. It's God's badge. It's the gold, it's the silver, it's the bronze, all wrapped up in one. Because of this attitude, because of these attributes and these characteristics, because these men and women acted in this manner, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared for them a city. I'll tell you what, if nothing else, that right there ought to compel you to believe, and me to believe. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? I don't want God to be ashamed to be called my God. Amen. Going through life, never calling on him, never trusting him, never believing him. No, I don't want him to be ashamed of me. I don't want him to never turn it over to him, never praising him, never thanking him, never. Are you with me? Never looking for him to move my life, never seeking him when the time of need comes, never calling on him in trouble when I need deliverance, never crying out to him, never focusing in on him. No, I don't want him to be ashamed to be called my God. I want him to be excited about me. I want him to be pleased with me. And faith pleases God. Isn't that right? Well, faith's impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, you know, just that 13, 14, 15, 16 verse, those four verses. Man, power-packed stuff. Yes. That really is when you really chew on it and take it apart. Those are attitudes you and I need to develop. Those are characteristics that we need to work on in our lives. And our perception, the way we perceive life, our outlook on life should be in line with those things. And then God's not ashamed to be called our God. Amen. Amen.